Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hey y'all, hey. How you doing? This is Dr. Samaria of Cobra. If you are new, wherever you are watching this from, let me introduce myself, Samaria, which is actually sitting in the Bible, believe it or not. I've had people say, ah, that's such a unique name. Where did it come from? You don't be going to church now. I'm just playing, y'all. Samaria Maria is my middle name, and Colbert is my last name. I am the founder of a private practice. I'm a licensed therapist. I have been in the field over 16 years. I have a private practice that is located in Greensboro. It is called Kingdom Creative Counseling, and I love this place. I've written lots of books, over 60 books. The final count is about 65. I believe, yeah. And my goal is 100 with the next 5 to 10 years. And I can do it. What y'all think? Don't doubt me. I can do it, darling. And so I'm a therapist, but I give you Christian and faith-based principles to bring about lasting change. And I talk a lot about issues sometimes that affect our emotional and mental health, and that is psychological warfare. And so I'm really excited about this book. I'm telling you, every book I write, I don't just write a book because I think it's going to sell or I don't, really care. Some books sell, some don't. But I God always gives me the ideas of what I should write about. So I did have another workbook coming out. I was prior to logging in. This one did not take me long to do because it's my heart's posture. But the one that I have coming out, that'll be out before the end of this year. Before the end of this year, I was going to say the end of the month, but I don't want to put too much pressure on myself. But that is a prayer workbook. Okay. That is for emotional healing. And another one, I have a bunch of them that I've already produced, but I'm doing another one. The Lord spoke to me and told me to do it. It's a really good one this time. Other ones are really good too. It's just that, as time goes on, you just tend to produce more and more. And I'm really excited about that. And before I came on here, I was saying that my designer had just sent me the draft and I had to send it back for revision. So I'm really excited about that. But anyway, so how I come to write books is God gives me, he downloads to me what my next title is. So I had a vision about 2 days ago where a great man of God was saying the Cain mentality. And I woke up thinking, thank you, Lord, you want me to teach on the Cain mentality. So I will. And I begin to think about this. And that will actually be the next book that I'm writing as of right now. And so it's going to be powerful. So I want to talk to you briefly about this. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. And then I'll go into greater detail in that book. In having the outline, I literally have only started the outline. What do we know about spiritual warfare, psychological warfare? There is a difference between just your basic spiritual warfare versus strongholds, or what the scripture called a strong man. When the individual is struggling with a stronghold, which is, or strong man, it is a conglomerate of different areas of spiritual and mental and emotional turmoil that creates a strong man. If you got one struggle in your spirit, that's one thing. It's nothing when you got deep-seated issues that are there. And so the Lord told me this term, the Cain mentality, and a lot of people have not written a whole lot about it. I'm going to be one of them, of course. Hopefully I inspire other people. But you got it from me, okay? Because I look, nobody talks about this. Hardly anybody. And so I want to kind of give you that. And I'm only going to give you brief things. When I did my outline, I identified, and this is going to be more of my heavier book. So, I did a lot of this book I did more, not less. The last few books I did, they're more like mini books. This one, because the topic was so heavy, it's going to be a book that has a lot more meat to identify, about 12 different chapters thus far. Okay. And there are 12 different areas of spiritual warfare and 12 different types of spirit that come along with the Cain mentality. This is going to be very important. And, I talk to leaders in my private practices because there are certain types of spirit that will come against your assignment, your purpose for dealing in this earth, for dwelling in this earth. And you're going to come across people who have the Cain mentality. And if you're not careful, it'll be the demise of you. All right. And so this is meant to give you clarity. But again, like I said, I'm only going to give you a few things. I'm going to give you some nuts and bolts. And I would encourage you to continue to follow me on all social media platforms. When that book is available, that is the next book that I'm writing. When that book is available, it does not take me long to write. I'm not going to give myself this crazy, I'm not going to give myself any crazy deadlines, but I'm just a quick writer. I write a lot all the time. But it will be out and it's going to be a heavy hitter. I promise you that. Okay. So let's start about that. What is the Cain mentality? Who was Cain? Cain was the firstborn to Adam and Eve. As you all know the story of Adam and Eve, they sinned, they got kicked out of the garden. All right. And I talked about the Jezebel spirit last time, how one of the key indications that you are not operating in the fullness of who God has called you to is if things, you are no longer in Eden, things are not easy, it becomes hard and you're working. Difficulty. Okay. But so in as time, as in the process of time, and I'm going to read Genesis 4 briefly, and then we'll go into some nuts and bolts, Okay. And I'm going to read this from the New King James Version, Spirit-Filled Life of Bible. I love this Bible, y'all. This is the New King James Version. And I'm just going to read some text, and then I'll give you some key pointers, and then we'll be done for today. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, y'all. As of right now, I am so close. I'm so close to my 1,000, okay? Just subscribe to my channel. So Genesis chapter 4, and I may change some of the words because as y'all know, even if you're talking about something simple, social media blocks certain words, okay? And I don't want to flag my stuff. Now, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. That's verse 1. Verse 2, then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Mm-hmm. Now Abel was a keeper of the ground, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. All right. Abel brought of the first fruit of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect, verse 5, he did not respect Cain and his offering. Watch this. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell, his facial position. Okay. Now Cain talked with his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, and he, now I'm going to change the wording here so I don't get blocked, right? He ended his brother's life. The KJV says he, K, you know the word, him. The New KJV version says he K'd him. You know the word, right? The KJV version says he M'd, you know the word, him. But he ended his life intentionally, right? Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? Uh-huh. He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Let's keep going. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which had opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hands. The blood was on whose hands? His hands. I'm give you context. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. Now the curse is you're going to be a fugitive, and that's going to make sense in a minute. We're going to keep talking, and a vagabond, and you shall be on the earth. Cain, verse 13, and like he was surprised. What? Yeah, he was. I could just end my brother's life and have no consequences. Cain said this, and Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out of this place. I'm sorry. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will also end my own life. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, therefore, whoever ends Cain's vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should end his life. Sounds like to me, Cain got a curse over his life. You ever meet a vagabond person? Someone has a vagabond spirit. They go from place to place. Oh, I don't know why I put that. Hold on, y'all. I should have kept that out. That's it. Place to place, looking for something and never find the rest. Sound like a demon to me, right? All right, let's talk about this. So what is the Cain mentality? And again, make sure you pick up that book when it comes out, because I promise you on God's great name, it's going to give you some revelation. I can't break it down like I really want to in this particular teaching, but let's go here. So first off, the Cain mentality is a spirit of competition. Uh-huh. So watch this. So oftentimes, it is a spirit of competition. Now, is competition wrong? Mm-mm. No, it's not wrong. You know, we all love competition, right? Most of us, if you're a football fan, I don't really follow football, but I can sit down a good game and have a good time. I have watched some boxing movies lately, just because that's what I wanted to do. And I watched a movie by George Foreman, and that was really, really good. And so we love a good competition, right? Basketball, one team versus the other team. So there is nothing within itself wrong with competition. The problem is that in competition, somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. We live in a world today where you don't just understand that. They just give you awards for showing up. You don't get an award for showing up, darling. You get an award for winning. That's nothing wrong with that. However, when we talk about competition from this aspect here, you have to understand a spirit of competition. And this is why it becomes the issue of spiritual warfare for those who are called to greatness, is that this is the spirit that sets itself up against the people of God to this day. It is the spirit that sets itself up against the people of God to this day. I'm trying to get ahead of myself. You will understand that we don't see in the text where Cain really had a huge issue with Abel before he ended his life. There was no beef between them. They didn't have any arguments, right? But he lured him away, is what one scripture says, one text says, lured him away to a field and ended his life. Why are you upset at Cain that God was the one who accepted his sacrifice, his brother's sacrifice, not his? Why are you upset with your brother for the favor? Listen to me. Why are you upset, Cain, with the favor that your brother is walking into? Why don't you be upset with God? I'm going to teach you this, that spirit of competition, again, is a posture of the heart. And the reason why it happens is that you have people that are offended that God has favored you, and they will seek your assassination through verbal, emotional, mental smear campaigns. I talked to y'all about that, through gossip and rumors. So there's more than one way to end someone's life if you try. So, but watch this. So God warns Cain. So God favors you and they don't like it. And I talked to you in previous sessions, which I don't have time to go into because our time is leading us away here. There's a difference between the favor of God and versus favoritism. When favoritism is dropped, the spirit of competition, the spirit of annihilation, all these things come when favoritism is present. That's why you should never show someone favoritism outside. God is not, according to Romans 2, verse 11, I believe it is, or maybe it's 12, 11, one of the two. I'll put the real scripture up front. God does not show favoritism. He does show favor. Big difference. When God shows favor, he's going to bless everyone through one person. When people show favoritism, it is man's attempt to bring about the promises of God through their own devices. Favoritism is a spirit of error. But again, look up that video so I give you context. But because of nothing that Cain or Abel did wrong, his brother now seeks and then eventually ends his life because God favored him above, he favored Abel above Cain. Now, he didn't like them more than the other. If there was something that happened that Cain's offering was not accepted. So the Cain mentality, again, is a spirit of jealousy, envy, strife, division that leads to the M word called ending someone else's life. You ever one of my people come against you? They said assassinate your character. They spread rumors and lies about you. I'm talking good already. You know, I told you about a season I went through. I didn't really do it in anybody. Now, if I did something wrong, I'm going to tell you I did it, but I didn't do nothing wrong. And I had people coming against me, and I kept saying, why? Why, God? Because of the favor. Now, we all want to believe that we are a favorite of God, but everybody is not favored of God, believe it or not. This is why you can see someone when the tangible hand of God rests upon their life and things just happened. You know, they've been working hard and one day God accepts them. And then he versus people who they do all kinds of stuff and they are working hard and arduously, but God does not seal them or endorse them yet. Sometimes it's process. Sometimes it's your heart posture. God didn't tell us why he accepted Abel's offering above Cain, but he's God. He doesn't need to offer us an explanation. You understand? He doesn't need to, he doesn't do that. He just warns Cain, listen, when you do well, he said, Cain, why are you so angry? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you don't do well, see, he knew something was in Cain's heart. He was saying, listen, it's not that I don't love you, Cain, more than I love Abel, but it was something in you. If you do well, so that's something in your offering, you weren't doing well. He says, but watch this, sin lies at the door. And it is desire for you is to rule over you. Sin lies at the door. So what is a lurking spirit? What is a monitoring spirit? It is sin lying at the door, willing and ready to rule over you. This is where the spirit of competition comes, the spirit of control, the spirit of mind games. People will lurk at you who have this type of spirit. They're lurking, they're monitoring you, waiting to rule over you because their minds are full of sin. The Cain mentality also brings in anger. That this type of anger is not just, oh, I'm a little angry. I mean, I just get a little angry every now and again. This is the spirit of bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, anger. God said, Cain, why are you so angry? This type of anger was a wrathful anger. When you get to the point where you're ready to end somebody's life, when you're ready to assassinate their character, when you're willing to do all these things because of the favor of God on their life, you have an envious or a murderer. You have a spirit of anger. I was telling my client even today before I met here, I said, you know, we all get a little angry. It's about what you do. Do you have self-control? It is not wrong to be angry, but can you check that at the door? Because that anger seed desires to consume you and rule over you. When you have somebody that's a bit of competition, they are very, 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 very angry, very resentful, very unforgiving, very nasty. You ever have somebody seen somebody, they just nasty on a good day, they just nasty. They just spit venom like it's on Tuesday. They just spit it. Spirit of competition, spirit of Cain. Okay. Another that is a spirit of comparison. You know, Joyce Meyer said, you compare and you despair. So you compare yourself. God, why have you favored this person instead of me? Now, if you do well, your time is coming. So remember, favor does not always drop at the same time. Sometimes it may be your time to be in process. Okay. Sometimes people just manipulate themselves in places and spaces they don't belong. And then for a temporary season, you win. But eventually God calls you on the carpet and eventually he will expose, which is what the Lord told me, all people who have agendas. He will do that. But when we start comparing ourselves, her versus me and him versus me and why am I talking you and all that kind of stuff, that is a spirit of comparison. When you compare yourself to other people, most of the time, you're thinking less of yourself. Now, in Cain's case, sometimes they think, oh, I can do what you can do. I can do better because, again, you make it look easy. You make it look easy because you've been doing it a while. Okay? Let's keep it moving. It's also rooted in the fruit or the root of rejection. God was not rejecting Cain as a person. He was rejecting his offering. He was rejecting his offering. And so this is God's, this is why God says, and so verse five, but he did not respect Cain and his offering, but Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Something was wrong with Cain's heart. And so it doesn't matter what you do. You can be the best thing walking, the most talented, the most gifted. God responds to matters of the heart. This is why you look at 1 Samuel 16, God told the prophet, no, don't anoint those persons as the next king. I have already rejected them. He said this, because man looks at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. Something was wrong in Cain's heart. Point number six, rebellion. So rebellion is disobedience, but it means to not adhere to the warnings of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand something very clearly, because I see people talking all of the game. This person did this to me. This person did that to me. This relationship didn't work out. You broke my heart. God warned you. God always warns us. God does not endorse rebellion or sin. We cannot use the grace of God to do what we want, however we want. God will always warn you before he issues some kind of a disciplinary action. Let me say that again. God will always warn you. You're not getting, God, why did this happen to me? It broke my heart. We get to crying and slipping and dipping and spitting. God will always warn you, don't do that. Don't do that. But oftentimes we don't adhere to his voice, and then it ends up going bad or sour. But had you just heard from the voice of God, not even heard from God, because you heard from, have you been obedient to his voice, we would have never found ourselves in places. Abel did not have to leave the earth early. He didn't. But his brother was warned, right? God always warned. There is no temptation. Well, I said there is no temptation such as common to man, but God will always give us a way of escape. So you can't say, I didn't know. God will, even when you're tempted, he will always give you a way, listen, of escape. Mm-hmm. So it is the spirit that does not want to adhere to the warnings of God. It is a spirit that does not want to listen to God. God, I want to do it my way, and I want you to bless it. Why was Cain surprised when he got issued his punishment? This punishment is too much for me to bear, you think? Watch this. It is also based upon a spirit of covetousness. Again, you don't see Cain or Abel arguing. You don't see them having fights. You don't know them having bitterness in their heart towards each other. See, people that don't like you are observing you from a distance. Sometimes people can be in competition with you and you don't even know it. I don't brag, but I talked about a time someone walked into a room where I was at and started talking real loudly to other people, just so I can hear. Well, I have a business too, all my life, and I got a business too, and me too. And I was like, okay, like, congratulations. Like, because I'm not that person. I don't walk to a room like I'm Dr. Samaria. And I introduce myself on these videos and stuff like that for obvious reasons, but I'll never walk into the room. I'm Dr. Samaria and I'm a business owner too. Like, I don't do that. What was going on? This person was in competition with me. I'm not in competition with them, because number one, when you're working hard, you don't have time to be in competition with somebody. I mean, why, you know? So they're in competition with you. Watch this. And they're observing you, that lurking demon from a distance. Now, I'm going to read you James chapter 4.
Okay.
Let's start at the first verse. Watch, this is going to make it plain, darling. Make it plain, make it plain, make it plain. And again, James 4, first verse. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure in your members, your mind? Watch this. You lust and do not have. So what is also in the spirit of Cain? Lust for what you don't have. You in other people's life, the M word, you covet and cannot obtain it. You fight and war. You do not have because you don't ask. But watch this. Even if you do ask, verse 3, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. That means you don't get an answer. Why? That you may spend it on your own pleasure. So you ask for things, but your motives are wrong. Your motives are wrong. Verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, that means men and women. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? That means an enemy of God. Whoever there wants to be a friend of the world must make himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? That means God does not want us a heart posture between us and our adultery, right? But he gives more grace. He gives more grace, therefore he resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Where do wars come? Arguments, people don't like you. Where did that come from? A spirit of covetousness. Remember in the text that Cain talked to his brother Abel and led him to the field. Sometimes the spirit of Cain or the Cain mentality befriends you with the intention of deceiving you. We call the psychological term mirroring with the intention of monitoring you. That's that. Monitoring you with the intention of mirroring you is what that means. They want to lure you in. They want to deceive you. They want to befriend you with the intention of getting your stuff, taking you off position, putting themselves in position. They befriend you only to betray you. See, I believe if Abel knew what was in his brother's heart, he wouldn't have went to that field that day. Bless his heart. It is based upon the spirit of pride. How it is, because God gives you warning, you just do what you want to do. Okay. It is also the curse. There are people in life who have a curse over their life. Nothing they can do. Genesis 28. So our pastor talked about this, but this is one of our favorite texts as well. 1 through 14, I believe, is the blessing, which requires obedience to the voice of God. And then the other ones, I think through the 60-something verse, there are 54 different curses that will come upon a person's life when you disobey him. So the requirement for the blessing is obedience. Okay? And this is a vagabond spirit. Now, I told you that the Lord spoke to me about a vagabond spirit many moons ago, and that is a person who goes from place to place to place. One relationship to the next relationship to the next relationship to the next relationship. Going from church to church to church to church, city to city to city, and they never find rest. It is a spirit that wants to come against your kingdom assignment. When someone has a vagabond spirit, they may sound good, they may sound churchy, they may sound good on paper, but they have no deep roots. Therefore, their conversations are petty and they don't have deep roots. It is the spirit of the betrayer, right? Talked to you about that already. It's also a spirit of ungratefulness. Well, I said an offering is something that was offered up as a gift to sow gratitude for the increase of that season. Some people call this the first fruit offering. Remember, both of them were to give an offering as an action of what God had increased them to do, right? It is the equivalent of telling God, thank you. And as a result of telling, of being blessed, God, what I'm now going to do is give you an offering. Now, God does not need anything from us, but it is our posture, right? And so Cain, in my opinion, was stingy. He was ungrateful and he was selfish. It appears to be that he just gave God whatever he wanted. But Abel gave God a worthy sacrifice that included his posture of gratefulness. So if you're truly grateful for what God has done, you won't give them the last, the least, whatever little bit that you have left over. You give the God who gave you increase the best of what you have. Abel's gift was accepted. Cain was not, and it was his heart posture. It was his heart posture. Why are you so angry? Remember this, the reason why, at the end of the day, God did not accept Cain's offering, and I'm done, was because Cain's heart posture was not right. Again, I told you 1 Samuel 16:17, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Our heart is our conscience. It is the seat of our appetite. It is the seat of our emotions and our passions, our inner part. But Jeremiah 17 says the heart is deceitfully wicked. That's why you don't follow your heart when it comes to relationships. The heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Deceitful means crooked and deceitful and polluted and fraudulent. A fool. One translation, I believe, was in the, I can't remember but it's called, it was a full of bloody footprint. That means you have a habitual habit of having a nasty heart. So we got to come, got to deal with this Cain spirit. So one, you don't, because it's easy to hear about, you know, the area of spiritual war, and you start thinking about people. You know, we all got people that, like, if you really are clear, have a Cain spirit or a Cain mentality. They really do. And so, it's easy to look at somebody and think, okay, my mom and my cousin. Because remember, that Cain spirit is not, it's not about a stranger. It's usually going to be someone close to you, maybe someone in your family. The spirit of jealousy has no barriers or boundaries. So it could be a mother jealous of her child. It could be a sister jealous of her sister. It could be a brother who's jealous of their brother. It could be someone who's jealous of their church leaders. It could be just about anyone, right? Am I right about that? Okay. So at the end of the day, what we really need to do is say, Lord, don't let this spirit of competition and spirit of the Cain mentality be in me. When you see someone who is competing with you, know that they are your enemy. I'm not talking about those of y'all who are athletes, who are into type of competitive sport, because I'm talking about the spirit of that Cain mentality. Because you got people. After I watched that George Foreman movie, I listened to all these interviews by George Foreman, and he was talking about how him and Muhammad Ali got into they fought, and Foreman ended up losing his heavyweight champion of the world. But a lot of people don't know this. They end up becoming best of friends. And up until he passed away, they would talk almost every single day. They were good friends. So I say, like, so you can have someone that technically on paper, people want y'all to compete, or maybe you're in the same sport on two different teams and y'all are the best of friends. You know what I mean? So that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying when someone is really competing with you from their heart posture, they're not your friend. And it's better to make these decisions early to just not be around them. Because eventually, yo, it's gonna get real. It's gonna get really, 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 really real. Right. And I want you to be aware of this spirit, because again, it is a spirit that comes against the people of God. Remember, as God begins to favor you, you have people who don't like it. And one thing that God says, as I begin to open up doors for you, he says, everyone's not going to be happy about your growth. Right. And there's so much more that I can say. Again, that's going to be a powerful, powerful book. Make sure you follow me on all social media platforms. Any other thing about me, my other books, my workbook that's going to come out, request speaking engagements, go to www.drsamariacolbert.com. For my training courses, go to www.trainingchristianleaders.com. And for my counseling practice, go. You are located in the state of North Carolina. Go to www.kingdomcreativecounseling.com. If you don't remember anything else, just go to samaricobra.com, and there'll be links to the other websites as well. And you said, man, I need counseling, I need therapy, but I'm not located in the state of North Carolina. If you can get to the state of North Carolina, that'd be wonderful. And if you cannot, if you cannot, darling, just go to www.psychologytoday.com. That is not sponsored, but they will get you right and get you where you need to go, okay? Thank you so much for listening once again. We'll be back another day, another time, another banger. Bye, y'all. Bye.